Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey everybody, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. As you probably guessed by the intro there, this is going to be a Bees in the News segment. We haven't done one in quite some time, and I figured, while I know it's not the most popular with some people, a lot of people really love it. So if you're not a big In the News fan, I completely understand, but we're going to go forth and conquer here today. And today's warm-up song is brought to you by Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower. Okay, the first article we have today is coming to us out of South Yorkshire, England. Terrified bargoers engulfed by swarm of 3,000 bees. Something out of a horror film. Shocked pubgoers rushed for cover when a swarm of around 3,000 bees descended on their favorite watering hole. The insects landed at the Brothers Arms pub in Healy, Sheffield at 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, swarming over its walls and a patio area. Video footage shows hundreds of bees then gathering on a white van which was parked outside the boozer with a loud buzzing filling the air as they settled on the bonnet. Errol Edwards, 59, had arrived at the pub to meet up with some mates when he stumbled into the swarm zone. He said, "There was a bit of a commotion and I saw people running inside. They gave some people fright, it seems." They had completely covered about a 20 square meter area of the pub, including the front and sides, even the patio floor. The bees were absolutely everywhere. It really was a spectacle. Errol said he was unaware what caused the bee explosion, but said it might have been something to do with the queen bee being on the move, looking for a new hive location. That was a pretty good assertion he made there. The swarm lingered around the building for 15 minutes before moving off to Healy Park, which is next door to the pub. Helen Strong, 31, who works at the Brothers Arms, said people ran inside after the swarm arrived on the street, and they shut the doors. So I think if I were in their shoes, I probably would be a little scared too. I mean, obviously we all know that, you know, what's going on here, and a lot of regular common non-bee folk would not, but I love the headline where it was like something out of a horror, something out of a horror film. Anyway, good times there, but it's that, you know, tis the season, right? This is swarm time. You just hope they don't give people a hard time when they're just out and about doing their thing, which again, this kind of goes back to what I talked to you a lot about managing your swarms, right? Some people are like, I don't care, let them swarm, whatever. And then you have this happening in your neighborhood, and you have people freaking out. Like, you don't want people getting all bent out of shape. All right, on to the next article. Oh, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but these articles are always going to be linked on the Beekeeping for Newbies page under the In the News section. There's also an archive section there as well for all the stuff from last year. So if you want to go back and reread these or see the links, that's where you can find those. Next up to us, coming out of Chicago, Illinois, rooftop bees at the Blackstone Hotel sweeten guest experience. Rooftop honey is harvested on site on the roof of the Blackstone Hotel in Chicago. The backstory. It's a partnership with The Hive Supply that's aiming to produce 100 pounds of honey this season thanks to 5 beehives perched atop the hotel. We manage about 300 hives all over Chicago, and we teach at Chicago public schools and other schools in the area as part of the urban agricultural program, really helping people understand and learn how to be beekeepers, said Leonard Rao, beekeeper at The Hive Supply. Rao said the bees are not only making honey, but contributing to a healthier ecosystem and maybe sweetening your stay at the hotel. The bees help pollinate plants throughout downtown Chicago. What they're saying, the Blackstone Hotel uses the honey for their guests in small batch amenities, gifts, cocktails, and food like house-made cookies. For us, it's not only a partnership of getting honey and using it in our everyday life, it's part of our sustainability project, along with our hydration station that we put out to replace plastic bottles and recycling the soaps that the guests have for other organizations. So that's a great thing that you might want to sign up with them for, to get some recycled soap. I definitely want to be a part of that initiative. When you take all of this, it's part of being a better sustainable organization and being part of the community as well, said Pierre Louis Giacato, hotel general manager. Rouse says the Hive Supply writes on each jar of honey the neighborhood where it came from. It is really important in our view to have local products in local environments, he said. Guests can not only experience the best of Chicago, they can taste it as well, Rouse said. Well, there you have it. I don't know how much of Chicago I want to taste. I've been there a couple of times and it didn't smell that great, but I thought the story was pretty cool. And I mean, anytime you have urban beekeeping, I'm really fascinated by it because it's so like counterintuitive and contradictory to anything that is rational in my mind. I know we had Brian from Bees in the D up in Detroit on a couple of years ago, and I think he did a great job talking about everything they're doing. And I know that Dr. Pearson out there in Mohive's Casey out in Kansas City, I know she was, had a lot of good information that she provided on some of the things they're doing with urban beekeeping. But it just doesn't seem as natural, I think. It's the idea of like having a farm in an urban area, but kind of a cool story and a little bit of fun. All right, moving on. Staying with the urban theme, urban wildflowers may be harming bees. In cities around the world, empty lots and old industrial sites are being transformed into patches of color and life through planting of wildflowers. These green spaces are meant to help pollinators such as bees and butterflies, providing much-needed food sources from urban wildflowers. But new research suggests that the soil in which these flowers are planted might be doing more harm than good for the plants and the pollinators. A team of scientists discovered that wildflowers growing on previously developed land, including sites where buildings and factories once stood, can take up harmful metals such as lead, arsenic, cadmium, and chromium. These metals don't just stay in the plants, they end up in the nectar the pollinators feed on, introducing toxic substances directly into their diets. Pollinated roots of urban wildflowers. Many cities, particularly older ones, have soil that's been exposed to decades of industrial activity. Sources including cement, dust, mining runoff, and vehicle emissions leave behind long-lasting contaminants which can affect urban wildflowers. In the post-industrial city of Cleveland, Ohio, where the study took place, over 33,000 vacant lots remain from years of population decline and industrial use. Researchers tested nectar from common self-seeding wildflowers growing in these urban spaces. The wildflowers included the white clover, wild carrot, bindweed, and chicory plants, known to attract bees and provide nectar throughout the growing season. Every plant tested contained at least one toxic metal. Lead was the most common and found in the highest concentrations. The amount and type of metal varied by plant species. So you can read the rest of the article later, but I thought that was really fascinating. But like I just mentioned a few seconds ago here, all the work and the effort and the initiatives that have been done in a lot of places with urban beekeeping, and then to kind of have this discovery is a little bit disturbing. So I think that's worth some investigation and maybe some follow-up. And, you know, what's the answer for that one? What do you do? Do you not? You see this one study and you hear about, okay, well, there's metals and things that are showing up in the nectar that's being produced and gathered by the bees. But what does that really mean in the global kind of scale? Like, okay, well, we're eating all kinds of things that are wrapped in various pesticides and different types of additives and preservatives. So which one is kind of worse than the other? Is it better to have a natural honey that maybe has some trace chemicals in it? Or is it better to have something that is produced in a factory that's loaded with a bunch of other junk? I feel like we're destroying everything at such a rapid rate anyway. Like, does it almost even matter anymore? Okay, moving on to Harvard University. This is RoboBee comes in for a landing. Microbot gets crane fly inspired legs for soft touchdowns. The Harvard RoboBee has long shown it can fly, dive, and hover like a real insect. But what good is the miracle of flight without a safe way to land? A storied engineering achievement by the Harvard Microbiotics Laboratory, the RoboBee is now outfitted with its most reliable landing gear to date, inspired by one of nature's most graceful landers, the crane fly. Publishing in Science Robotics and featured on the cover, the team led by Robert Wood, the Harry Lewis and Marilyn McGrath Professor of Engineering and Applied Sciences in the John A. Paulson School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, say that in one breath, has given their flying robot a set of long jointed legs that can help ease its transition from air to ground. The robot has also received an updated controller that helps it decelerate on approach, resulting in a gentle plop down. These improvements protect the robot's delicate piezoelectric actuators, energy-dense muscles deployed for flight that are easily fractured by external forces from rough landings and collisions. Landing has been problematic for the RoboBee due in part to how small and light it is, weighing just a tenth of a gram with a wingspan of 3 centimeters. Previous iterations suffered from significant ground effect or instability as a result of air vortices from its flapping wings, much like the groundward-facing full-force gales generated by helicopter propellers. Previously, if we were going to go in for a landing, we'd turn off the vehicle a little bit above the ground and just drop it and pray that it would land upright and safely, explained co-first author Christian Chan, a graduate student who led the mechanical redesign of the robot. Their paper describes improvements of the robot's controller or brain to adapt to the ground effects as it approaches, an effort led by co-first author and former postdoctoral researcher Naksung Patrick Hun. Hun led controlled landing tests on a leaf as well as rigid surfaces. So it's kind of an interesting article, and if you get a chance to go and read it and check it out, it can show the size of it in comparison to like a penny and other iterations, and then comparing it to an actual crane. Was it a crane fly? Let's see, where was it? Yeah, crane fly. And I think they made mention of the idea of what could potentially be down the road in the future for like a robotic type pollination. So just like all of us are being replaced by AI, the goal too would then be to replace pollinators with AI too. Really, we just need to get rid of food and just make fake food. Then you don't even need to have pollinators anymore because you're just eating fake food. I'm just trying to brainstorm here, looking at new opportunities for all of us to cash in on here. But think about a scenario like we had this year where we had pretty significant losses in the commercial bee space and being able to say, okay, we're going to need, you know, 500,000 supplemental artificial pollinators in this location. You know, you never want to put the bees out of a job, but wouldn't be the worst to have something around or something available that we could use to supplement them. I mean, they'll never be able to make honey, so the bees have that going for them. All right, but my favorite article of the day today, bee yoga coming in May, June, and July. Courtney Brummel, a project coordinator for the Great Plains Master Beekeeping Program and the University of Nebraska Lincoln Bee Lab, will be offering bee yoga throughout the spring and summer months. The nature-inspired wellness experience is designed to help participants find peace, calm, and mindfulness through the art of yoga and the healing power of bees. Just as bees play a vital role in pollinating plants, bee yoga aims to pollinate peace by fostering inner balance and connecting individuals to nature's rhythms. Through guided yoga poses, mindful breathing, and the presence of live honeybees, this workshop offers participants an opportunity to calm their minds, reduce stress, and cultivate a sense of serenity that they can carry into their daily lives, as long as they don't get stung during the yoga. The sessions will be from 6 to 7 p.m. May 2nd, June 5th, and July 22nd at the University of Nebraska Lincoln's Pollinator Garden and Outdoor Classroom, north of Holdridge Street and 48th Street. Participants must enter through the Northwest East Campus Loop, then Fair Street. Parking is gravel and the bee yard has an incline, so notify staff ahead of time if you have any physical limitations. There will be no indoor restrooms available. Online registration is required. The cost to participate is $20 per person, cash check only, brought to the event. Okay, well anyway, so you get to go do some yoga with bees if you want to out there at the University of Nebraska. That sounds like a good time. I mean, who doesn't want to do yoga with bees, right? I still think the goat yoga is where it's at. You get those little baby goats and have the, I feel like that's where you really make your money. All right, everybody. Well, I came across a couple of articles that I thought were kind of neat. I wanted to share them with all of you. Take care of yourself. Be kind to one another. Remember that I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.